and I think you all know it. It's not in the book, but the song, There Is Beyond the Azure Blue. So years ago, when I first heard that song, I still remember where I was when I first heard it. It's in Brother Steve's basement. And it's a song that I've loved ever since. So if you could sing with me. There is beyond the
azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He is the light of heaven here, and lit the world with his great light. There is a God, he is a light.
Father, we do bow here in your presence this morning because you are the I Am. You are the Eternal One. You are the one who always was and always will be. And we bow here in your presence this morning, Lord. As our brothers have shared this morning, oh God, that gift of salvation, that we should live without fear and serve you all the days of our life. You've sent the Savior to that we might do this, Lord, that we might be cleansed from our filthiness, from our sin, and walk in newness of life. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. We invite you, dear Father, to have your way here in our midst this morning. Stir our hearts again, Lord. Raise us up, Lord. A chosen people, a holy generation, that we might show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. We desire that this morning, O God, and we forgive us our trespasses and sins this morning by the blood of Jesus. Wash us anew, cleanse us today, Lord, that we might serve you and love you and live with you forever. I pray for the preaching of your word this morning, Lord. I desire only this, that to be a vessel in your hand, and that you would have your way through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, greetings to you all in the name of Jesus this morning. I was very encouraged this morning, very blessed with what the brothers shared, especially blessed with the singing this morning. through a number of the songs. That song, If Ye Then With Christ Be Risen, and the victory won, let your thoughts on Him be centered till the race is run. Let no anxious thought perplex thee, or temptation still dismay. Think, whenever the clouds surround thee, soon will dawn a brighter day. I was encouraged with a number of the songs this morning. I thank the brothers for sharing. Brother Jerry, Brother Rufus. Okay, well, I was trying, just seeking the Lord, asking Him what He would, seeing what the Lord would have me share this morning, and realizing that we hear a lot of very powerful things. We hear the truth preached every Sunday, and I don't really have anything new to add to all that. We've been really blessed lately with the practical teachings, but I believe we have need of encouragement. We have need of being renewed today, and we have need of exhorting one another. And we also have need of defining the faith in our day, of defining what it means to be the people of God, and defining the gospel by living it out, by preaching it. There's a great need in the world for that today. And something that I've always loved since I've been a Christian is biographies or testimonies of people who have gone on before, people who have walked with God, and people that have known God, people, and by their experience, we can learn a lot about God. And that's been a blessing to me in a lot of ways. Even through, sometimes even through their failures, we can learn. And so I'd like to, this morning, I was also thinking about all the children here, and thinking of, I'd like to share something with to the children. And so I kind of decided on something that's been on my heart a lot lately, as our children have been listening to some Bible story CDs, and they were listening to this story of Samuel, Samuel the prophet, and for some reason they were kind of stuck on it, and they listened to that thing over and over, and I was listening to it also, and I've just been thinking about that. So I think what I'd like to share on this morning is Samuel, a chosen vessel. A little bit of on the life of Samuel. There's a verse in in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, we read this passage, that in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And if a man, therefore, purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And so it's where I'm getting the title here a bit, Samuel, a chosen vessel. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel. The reason that I appreciate this story is, as I thought about it, Samuel was raised up by God in a time that was very spiritually dark in the nation of Israel. Eli was the priest, and there was darkness from the leadership on down. There was corruption in the priesthood. In the spiritual leaders of the day, there was corruption. And I think we have a lot in common with that today. And those who are supposed to be shepherds and all around us, I believe they are many of them are serving for money. And that's what Eli's sons were doing, were trying to gain for themselves through the priesthood. Another thing that the children that sit here today would have in common with Samuel is that Samuel had believing parents. And Samuel had a praying mother. Samuel had a mother that got hold of God and that truly sought to honor the Lord. And I would think that the children here have a lot in common in that way. Samuel was another thing that I would that we see in Samuel's life that I would hope for all of you children in here is that Samuel began to serve the Lord when he was very young. His life was consecrated to the service of the Lord at a young age. So I'd like to share along those lines this morning. And then for the first part, and then the second part, I'd like to bring out just about four principles from the book of 1 Samuel. So with that, I'd like to read in 1 Samuel. I'm going to be reading part of the account. I don't want to take too much time, but I'm sure the children in here and everyone is very familiar with this account from the scriptures. And I'd like for us to remember as we go through the message here that it's sometimes a little difficult to preach from the Old Testament. We live in a different dispensation. And when we talk about honoring God today, we're not talking about finding the temple somewhere. We're talking about coming to God through Jesus Christ, as Brother Rufus shared this morning, and in a complete surrender. So I trust that you'll all keep that in mind as we share here. So I'm going to begin reading here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and I'm going to start on verse 20. The first part of this chapter, it talks about that Hannah, Elkanah's wife, was barren, didn't have any children, and as she was in a distress about this because Elkanah's other wife would mock her because she was barren, and so yearly when they would go to the temple to sacrifice, in this year as she went to the temple, she was in such a great distress that she was praying in the temple, and Eli saw her, and it said she was praying, not making any sound, but praying in her heart, and Eli thought she was had been drinking, and she said, "No, I'm not drinking. I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit." She said, I have not drunk another wine or strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. And Eli said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she believed that. It said that she went her way, and her countenance was no more sad. And so she believed that. She left in faith that day. I believe that she had truly felt like she had reached God. She had gotten through, and that God had heard her prayer. So, beginning on verse 20. "Wherefore it came to pass that when the time came about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his wife went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. And so the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I have asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. She didn't, I'm thinking of the faith of this dear woman, but she didn't take him to a sheltered environment. She took him to the temple where Eli's sons were doing a lot of very corrupt things. And I don't know of all her motivation, but I believe that it says later here in chapter 2 that the people were very grieved at the corruption in the temple, and it says they despised the offering of the Lord. And so I think we can assume that she saw a great need in the nation. She saw a great need for a man of God. And in her faith, she offered up her son and took him to the high priest, the only way that she knew, I believe, to consecrate him to the Lord. And I marvel at the account. But anyway, this dear woman, she raised a boy that became one of the greatest of prophets in the nation of Israel. One who was able to call the nation to repentance again. But getting maybe a little ahead of myself, I'd like to read also in chapter 2, starting on verse 11. And Elkanah went to Ramah, his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. And now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. I'm going to skip a few verses. It simply talks about how they were stealing from the offering. They were taking more than they were supposed to. Actually, I'll just go ahead and read it. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So did they in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. And also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said unto the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto them, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, he would answer him, nay, but if thou give it to me now, not, thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I'll take it by force. Therefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went to their own home. And if you want to turn to chapter 3, I'm going to read all of chapter 3 here. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. I understand that to mean that there was no one, or very few people, at least, that were hearing from God and ministering to the people the true word. Eli wasn't hearing from the Lord in his place as the high priest. And so it was a very dark time in the nation, much as we see today. When it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. And then in verse 7 it says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Samuel was there serving in obedience to his parents and to Eli. He did not yet personally know God. And as I look at that, I think of all the children here, that God would have you to, in obedience to your parents, serve the Lord in the way that you know until the Lord calls you. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And so Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. And in that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice and offering forever. And Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. And then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing which the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things which he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do as what seemeth good him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And so here, even as a young man, it says that his testimony was such that all Israel knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And it says that the Lord appeared again in Shiloh through the consecration of one young man. The presence of the Lord returned to the temple. And how desperately this world needs that. So I'd like to share a little bit this morning on some of the principles of Samuel's life, some of the things that we read here in 1 Samuel, and things that helped him, things that caused him to become a chosen vessel of the Lord. And maybe, I think of children, maybe in your minds you're thinking, how can I relate to someone who was the prophet of a nation? But that's not what we're looking at this morning. In the New Covenant, I don't know that God is looking for a prophet to a nation, but God is looking for a faithful witness in every part of the land. And so that's the burden I have this morning. And also that we as parents would take heart, take courage. The Word of God is true. And as we go on here, I'd like to, in the first one that I'd like to share here, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, the portion that we didn't read, I'd like to look at a principle here that that's been fixed from the beginning. We see it clear through the Bible. We see this principle lived out, and we see the effects of it. But in chapter 2, verse 30, I'm going to read verse 30 in chapter 2. It says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." That's a fixed principle in God's word. That them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And in this account, we have the two people. This is a judgment that God is speaking against Eli. And if you back up to verse 29, verse 29, it says that, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people." And the principle of honor, the word honor, it means to, it actually places a value. The word honor is to place a value on. And he was telling Eli that there was something in your life that you honored more than me. And you allowed that to hinder, the testimony. That the people of Israel are despising the offering of the Lord because you honored something above me. And we see what happened. It says, "They that despise me," or those that shall be lightly esteemed. Those that don't honor me in that way will be lightly esteemed. And we know that wherever the gospel is preached, that the name of Eli is one that is not highly esteemed. It's one that is just that there's kind of a blemish on the name of Eli. There's just wherever the name of Eli is talked about, there's a blemish to his name. That he's the man that honored something above the Lord, and God had to judge him for it. Brother Jerry talked this morning about the fear of men. And often, that's what hinders us, hinders people. But I'd like for us to take courage this morning that God's word is true. And though the world mock you, that if you seek to honor the Lord in all that you do, God will honor you. Your name, you know, there might not be a biography written of your life that the world will see and glory in. The world may never read the biography of your life, but there's being one written. There's a biography written of your life. And so the first one I'd like to look at here is, I believe that often the Christians get intimidated by the glory of man around them. And as they see men being glorified, and I think as sometimes there can a question rise in our hearts, is it really worth it? And so I'd like to encourage us this morning that this principle is very true. In all of the biblical record, those that sought to honor God were honored. It didn't fail, not once. Those who sought to honor God with all of their heart, their name is well spoken of in heaven. Hannah here, if we turn back to chapter 2, and we talk about being honored, I'd like to explain a little bit what I mean by that. I know that we serve God because he loved us, not seeking some honor. That's not what I'm getting at here. But in chapter 2, and beginning in verse 1, and this is Hannah's prayer. I won't read all of it. It says, "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired themselves out for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble." Verse 7, "The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar out of the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto the king and exalt the horn of his anointed." And Hannah's honor was in that the God had answered her prayer, and that she had gained an audience with the God of heaven. That was her honor, and she gloried in that. That God had lifted her up, and that no amount of mocking after that could take it away. It's just a beautiful. I love that it's known as Hannah's song. No amount of mocking, no amount of it didn't matter anymore what anyone said, because she had gained an audience with the God of heaven, and she'd found the love of God that Brother Jerry was talking about, and she was secure. And when it says, "Them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." I wasn't going to give a lot of practical application to that, but you know, to honor the Lord, we need to deal with sin in our lives, wherever it comes, whenever it comes, whenever it shows up. We need to deal with sin. We need to put it away, cut it off. We also honor the Lord in our choices. Our choices clearly reveal who we're honoring. And even to the world, even the world can recognize when the Christians are not honoring their God. I mean, even the world, to some sense, has discernment of that. But I'd like for that to soak into us that God has spoken. God of heaven has spoken. "Them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." In John 5, and also in honoring God, I want to read the scripture in John 5. "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him." And blessed with what Brother Rufus shared this morning, stirred my heart. In John 12, Jesus said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life shall keep it unto life eternal. And this is the verse I wanted. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And so this morning, it's an open invitation to every child in this room that if you will seek to honor the Lord, your life will not be in vain, but God will honor you. He will honor you with his presence, and he'll honor you with eternal life. Okay, the second one I'd like to get from the chapter 3 there. I'd like to talk about the response of true faith. I don't know what was going through Eli's mind when this happened, but he was in a backslidden condition. We can see that he had been hearing the word of God for a long time, though he was going through the motions, and though he was supposedly leading the people in worship. I don't believe that he had heard from God for a long time, and when Samuel came to him the third time that night, it began to dawn upon Eli that something unusual was happening, that God was speaking to his people. And so he gave Samuel this advice, and though his condition was not good, what he told Samuel to do still speaks to us today. He said, well, when you hear that voice, this is what you do. You say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. The response of true faith. And today, that's still the response of true faith. The Apostle Paul, when he heard from God, he said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And Samuel learned this principle here, and it seems like that all through his life, that he followed that, he obeyed that. Numerous times in the book of 1 Samuel, we see this phrase, and the word of the Lord came to Samuel, and he would always do what God told him to do. He called the nation to repentance. He even went and told King Saul that the kingdom is taken away from you. I'm sure that was maybe one of the most difficult things. Samuel went and told Saul, I have wept before the Lord all night, but I have to tell you this, that the kingdom is taken away from you. And so I'd like to encourage us this morning that it's not always easy, and sometimes the circumstances are difficult. But the response of the true child of God will always be, speak, Lord, I'm listening, whatever you say. And sometimes we fail in that, I believe. And we need to repent, and we can repent. Praise God. But for us this morning, how do you and I respond when the Word of God seems a little difficult, or when it just kind of goes against what I'd really like to do? What we see happening all around us, there's reasoning and self-justifying, and but I would encourage us this morning that God honors those, that God uses those. What helped Samuel to be the chosen vessel of the Lord was this attitude. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Whatever you have for me, Lord. How do we respond when counsel of those in authority over us contradict our thinking? Do we say, speak, Lord, I'm listening? The third one here in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel. We have the account where King Saul was sent, and I know that you're all familiar with these scriptures. I realize this is nothing new this morning. But I believe we're in a day when practical faith and a changed life is under attack, and I'd like to encourage us. But here in we have this account where King Saul was commanded to destroy the Amalekites. And he went and did that for the most part. But they spared the king and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good. He didn't utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed utterly. In other words, they kept what they wanted. They destroyed the things that were of little value. And the verses I wanted to get to was Samuel came to him. It says in verse 10 that then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel. And again, we hear this. It says the word of the Lord came unto Samuel. This chosen vessel who was sent to reveal the word of God in his generation. It says, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. But in verse 22, it says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And I thought of that principle, that to obey is better than sacrifice. That's still true today. You know, there's that dead religion always tries to cover its disobedience with sacrifices. Eli was doing that. I don't think the daily sacrifice had failed in the temple. They were still practicing their religion. But God was very, very displeased. And today we live in a very rebellious generation. It says where excuses for disobedience abound. Men always try to justify their disobedience with their own wisdom. Saul said, wouldn't God be pleased if with all these beautiful sheep and oxen I could sacrifice? I mean, we could sacrifice for months with all these. And God just rejected it. So I'd like to encourage us this morning that if we've given our hearts to follow the Lord in truth, make no excuse for it. Make no excuse for it. Though the world mock you, though the religion around you scoffs, the God of heaven has spoken that to obey is better. To obey is better than all the noise. Than all the noise of these sacrifices. Than all the the noise that men make in their supposed worship. John 14. Have a couple of verses. Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Obedience and love are not contradictory. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we shall come unto him and make our abode with him. God promises to dwell with those who are sincere. Okay, the fourth one here that I'd like to share with us this morning, fourth principle. The fourth principle of being a vessel unto the Lord. In chapter 16, Samuel went to Bethlehem and met with the family of Jesse. And the Lord had told him to go down and to anoint a new king from the house of Jesse. And as they were there, Jesse's sons began walking in, and I know you're all familiar with this account. But the first one came in, and Samuel looked at him, and he said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here, is before me here." And the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as men seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And that's what I wanted to get to here for the fourth one. The Lord seeth not as men seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And I know this verse is often interpreted to mean that God is not seeing my works, but he's only looking at the inner man. But if you look at the context here, that's not what God was saying. God was saying, I'm not looking for someone who's strong and powerful. I'm not looking for someone who has good looks or is well looked on by men. He says, I'm looking for someone who's willing. I'm looking for a willingness of heart and humility. And he saw that in David. 1 Corinthians 1:26 says that not many mighty, not many noble, not many of those men that are esteemed are chosen, but the weak and the things that are base has God chosen to display his glory and to reveal himself in this world. And so I just like to encourage the children here that to be a chosen vessel of God, you don't need to be tall or strong or smart or good looking, or you don't need to be the best speaker, and you don't need to be the most talented to be a chosen vessel of God. But you must have a willing heart and humility. You must have a teachable spirit. The first one I talked about being honored by God. You know, I can think of no greater honor than by the grace of God to someday see my children being used by God for the purposes of God. To see my children being used for the purposes of God, I don't know that there will be a greater honor. And to you children, there's no greater honor in this world. There is no greater honor than being a vessel for God. It is the greatest accomplishment that you could achieve is if Almighty God would use your life for his purposes. I was challenged the other evening with Melvin Kaufman's with the testimony and what he shared here. But I see someone being honored by God because of a full surrender. Because he gave, and you don't need to go to Tanzania to do that. You can do that here. And in closing, I'd like to turn to chapter 12. In verse 1 in chapter 12, I'm going to read here. Samuel is getting old, and the people have asked for a king. And I'm going to read here because this is pretty much, we can read a little of Samuel after this, but this seems to be kind of a testimony from when he is old. And Samuel said unto all Israel, "Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you. And I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day." He said, "You have seen my life from my childhood. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I'll restore it to you." And they said, "Thou hast not. Thou hast not defrauded us nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand." And he said unto them, "The Lord is witness against you this day, and his anointed, against you and his anointed is witness this day that ye have not found aught in my hand." And they answered, "He is witness." And I wanted to bring that in here, that this testimony of a man who served God until he was old and gray-headed, and I believe that he did until he died. But you know, what was his reward? What was his reward? We believe that he went on to an eternal reward. We believe that that he's with the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. But here in this life, we see that he had this reward, that the Lord is with him. He had the presence of the Lord with him. And he was hearing from God. And that's the calling. That's the calling on our lives, even if we didn't start when we were young. Doesn't matter today. We can have that testimony. We can have that that reward of God, that honor of God, that we hear the voice of God and that He is with us. And there is nothing greater than to give your life for that. So I think I'll had a couple scriptures here yet. I think I lost my something here. I think I'll just close with that. I'd like to encourage us this day to that God hasn't changed. Though we see maybe failure around us, we've seen failure in our own lives, and to encourage us this morning to turn our hearts to the Lord, seek to honor Him, and in all that we do, you know, honoring the Lord, it has a lot to do with everyday choices. It has a lot to do with choices in money, choices in time, in what we do with our time, and choices on how we deal with sin in our lives, in our homes, as fathers. But I'd like to leave you with this encouragement that that God is sure, and those that honor Him, He will honor. So God bless you.